Good morning again. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 as we consider through this great letter to a group of believers in Christ who come from a Jewish background, for them to continue on and to persevere by faith, even as they go through incredible times of persecution and anticipating greater times of hardship. By focusing on the fact that Jesus is greater than anyone else and anything else, and because Jesus is faithful, not to be fearful of others, of what people could do. You know, as we watch what's going on around the world, it's really easy to get discouraged or frustrated or even mad at some of the crazy things that seem to be going on. It's easy to feel overwhelmed or to have fear begin to take over and rule our thoughts and our emotions. There's so much division going on in our country because of politics. You know, with midterm elections coming up, and even just recently the Supreme Court a confirmation process that seemed to bring anything but peace. Even just this week, some suspicious packages were sent to leaders in our Democratic Party out of anger or fear or whatever, and it seems to continue to push and to polarize people further and further, even within our church. People who, from great reasons, come from different places and vote differently. Many are concerned about issues of immigration as we hear stories and see pictures and video of this group of migrants from Central America moving through Mexico and approaching the border, and our president sending troops to the Texas border. It's leading to fears and questions and even anger by some. And then yesterday, we see the continued issues of racism within our country as a synagogue in Pittsburgh was attacked. 11 people killed. Someone even asked me this morning, you know, what are we doing to be prepared for that kind of thing? And let me just assure you, as I did them, we have people in place to protect against that. But more than that, we have God who is watching over us, but He uses people to that end. And so through people and plans and faith, we trust the Lord. All this chaos and confusion around us in our world, for many, is creating a culture of fear. But most often, it's not the things around us. It's the things close to us that tend to cause us to lose heart, to grow weak in our faith. For us, the things close to our hearts and our minds and our relationships and our family and even here in our church are the things that require enduring faith. So, how are you this morning? Not just in a general, hey, how are you, but no, how are you doing this morning? How are you doing as individuals, as families? How are you doing as students and the things going on in your classes and relationships and with teachers? How are things going with your parents, youth leaders? You know, for parents, how are you doing with your children? How are you doing if you're married as husband and wife? What are the struggles you're facing? You know, for those of you who are teachers, how are you doing with your students, with their families and all that they bring into your classroom every day, not just physically and from an education standpoint, but with the emotions and the chaos they're bringing from their homes? Moms, how are you doing as you're staying home with little kids who are constantly demanding your time and attention and draining your energy? How are you doing in your walk with the Lord with all of that? How are you doing as police officers who are here in our congregation, as engineers, business owners, those who work in the medical field, who are close to people all day long and hear and see their issues? You know, it's enough just to drain us where we get tired and exhausted and worn out. Beyond that, we're asking you to come and to sacrifice and to serve here at church. How are you doing there? How are you doing as Sunday school teachers, as Awana leaders, those who are teaching ESL, those of you who are serving and carrying the weight and the burden of ministry as elders and as deacons? In all those ways and so many more, how is your faith doing this morning? Because what all of us need, myself included, is we need endurance to run this race, because life around us and surrounding us and even within us can exhaust us at times. And the message of the letter to the author of Hebrews is saying, keep going. Keep going when we're tired and when we're troubled. And the letter explains why the family of faith in Jesus Christ thrives and requires the household of faith, the body of Christ. Just as James and Cheryl were sharing this morning, how we need each other. I need you and you need me to keep us, to cheer one another on. Not just here, but to focus our eyes on Jesus. In the midst of all the chaos around us and what's going on in us, it seems to me that the author is exhorting us here in chapter 12. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. And then he goes on in the rest of the chapter to describe and set forth the means and the motivation for this endurance. And so when we get to Hebrews chapter 13, where we are this morning, the author is spelling out for us exactly what our endurance should look like, what form our enduring faith should take. And you know what it is? Love. Not just this generic sense of love, but a love that is faith in action, that requires trust in God, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who out of love came as our great high priest, our sacrificial servant, dying in our place so that we would have the Holy Spirit within us, looking to him, who he is, his character, and his love and obedience, so that when we reach these points where we're tired, exhausted, discouraged, hurt, lonely, we look to Jesus together. You see, enduring faith in Jesus Christ, it perseveres by loving others, just as God has first loved us. It perseveres in loving others, especially when it's inconvenient, uncomfortable, or difficult. And one of the things I said to Ryan this week as I was looking at this passage, and we've been working on this together with several others, is that this is one of those messages that I've got to preach to myself and apply personally, because this doesn't come naturally to me or to anyone. It requires faith that God is going to work in us and through us as he has said he would and as he promises. When life gets hard, our natural tendency is to turn inward, to take care of ourselves. Kind of like a turtle. When there's an external threat, we turn inward and go into protection mode. That's natural. What's supernatural is keeping our eyes on Jesus as our perfect example, the one we look to, the one who promises to be with us, to persevere with him, and to look upward rather than turning inward, to look upward to Jesus so that our focus is not inward but is outward of us caring for one another. And sometimes that's really hard. For example, just this week, I was at a restaurant meeting with a small group for Threaded, our racial reconciliation group. And as I was leaving the restaurant, I saw someone that used to be a part of Plano Bible Chapel. And I stopped and talked to this person because I needed to. met the person or the two people that were there with them. And as I was just a few steps away, I heard that person say, "Awkward." And it was. And it hurt. Sometimes loving others is just hard. It's inconvenient. It's uncomfortable. But it's the only way that God has planned and purposed for us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep us dependent upon Him, but also to encourage us as we love one another. And Hebrews chapter 13 spells it out in detail. Now, let me just say, this could be a really long sermon. And we could very easily take these six verses we're going to look at this morning and have six different messages on just these. But I want to put them together quickly in context, that this is how we persevere by faith, with love. So he starts out in verse 13, "Let brotherly love continue." Or maybe the way that is a little bit more complete, "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters." Those who are in the household of faith, keep on loving one another. When it's inconvenient, when it's uncomfortable, when it's hard, when it's awkward, we love one another. And what that looks like is this relentless pursuit of one another. When we rather shrink back, protect, hide, run away, walk away, keep on loving one another, relentlessly pursue others with Christ-like love. Now, the word that's translated love here, as many of you know, is not the agape love that's unconditional. It's the phileo love, Philadelphia, love of brothers. And even brothers at times fight and argue and have to seek forgiveness and reconciliation. But one thing's about brothers and sisters in this family context, in a healthy environment, in a healthy family, they love one another. And what it looks like to relentlessly pursue others is that we don't blame. We don't make excuses. We don't become a victim. And instead of walking away, we pursue, we walk toward one another. Even when, and especially when, it's hard, it's difficult, we're different. One of the things about considering all that Jesus is and all that He's done for us is that He's our common ground as our great high priest, as our sacrificial offering. It's Jesus that brings us together, and it's His desire and plan for His body, His church, to be different. And sometimes different means that it doesn't always seem to match and fit. So for those of you who are new, and those of you who have been here for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, keep on loving one another. PBC is a healthy church. And by healthy, that doesn't mean we don't have problems. It means when we're healthy, when we disagree, when we hurt each other, when we sin against each other, we work to reconcile, where we say, "I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I didn't mean to, or I didn't want to hurt you." And equally difficult times is, "Yes, I forgive you, and I will keep on forgiving you," because it's not a one-time thing, because oftentimes that hurt continues, where we have to keep on forgiving just because Jesus has forgiven us. And instead of walking away from each other, we relentlessly pursue each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. I commit to you, I will keep on doing that. And I ask you to keep doing that to me. The next verse says, "Be ready to show hospitality when it's needed. For by doing so, some have cared for angels without even knowing it." We're to selflessly share with others who are in need. Now, the word for hospitality that's here of keep on being ready to show hospitality is philoxenia. It's related to phileo, philoxenia. It's the love of strangers, or maybe people that you don't know as well. Maybe people that you're just acquaintances of. For these people, you and I are to selflessly share with others who are in need. Those strangers may be newcomers. Those strangers may be people that you know their name and their face, but you haven't relentlessly pursued them yet to get to know them, to find out what they need. You see, hospitality moves from being friendly to being loving. It requires we get out of our comfort zone. It requires sharing our time, our energy, maybe even our fears, to meet the needs of others. My sister recently moved from California to Texas. After being in California for 25 years, they moved to the Austin area. And the very first week that they were there, she went on a ladies' retreat at the church that they decided to attend. And my sister is an extrovert. She's out there. And she was afraid. She was afraid of nobody knowing her, nobody knowing her children, having to explain her story again and again and again. And some of you know what that's like. Others of us, that takes some remembering of what that's like to be the new person. What it looks like to exercise enduring faith is for all of us, those who have been here for decades and those who have been here for 10 days, to mutually show hospitality to one another, to selflessly share with others our resources, our time, our energy, our talents, our gifts. Sometimes providing meals, like we've asked you to do this week, and some of you are upset because I haven't posted other opportunities to share yet. What a great thing. I think it was Cheryl Wilson who commented that, you know, PBC fills up the meal trains faster than any other place they've seen. You guys are doing great at certain areas of hospitality, but we've got some room to grow. I've got some room to grow in meeting the needs of others. In order to know the needs of others, we have to ask and listen and observe and pay attention and to pursue. That goes for both extroverts and introverts alike. And the author's admonition here is seasoned with a bit of incentive based upon some biblical precedent. Like Abraham and the three visitors of Mamre in Genesis chapter 18, or his nephew Lot in Sodom in Genesis 19, who had not realized that they were actually entertaining angels in human form by showing hospitality, meeting the needs of others, where it took risk, overcoming fear, to meet the needs of others. You know, we've got an opportunity for you to show some hospitality just in the next couple weeks. As our missionaries, let me say this clearly, who are in need and who need us, we have an opportunity to show hospitality. I imagine that they're fearful of coming here. Maybe not in an overwhelming way, but will they want me? Am I needed? You know, over the weekend of our anniversary celebration, we're trying to set up some opportunities for you to host some meals with missionaries, get together with them, include others, maybe other newcomers, where you can meet not only missionaries, but other new people here at PBC. It's not a long way away. It's just right outside this door to sign up. And to say, I'm willing to step out in faith and to share with others who have needs, to show hospitality. Verse 3 in Hebrews 13 says, remember those imprisoned for their faith, as if you were in prison with them, and those mistreated for their faith, as if you were being treated the same way. It's showing empathy. To empathetically remember others who are suffering. And I think the The reason we have to actively remember and do this by faith is because we get so busy, it's so easy to forget. And yet there are a lot of things we can do to exercise faith practically in remembering others who have needs, others who are suffering, not just in prison for their faith, but others who are in prison for whatever reason, others who are suffering or been mistreated or misunderstood or hurting. So what we can do is, because we get busy, is to utilize some tools and resources to help us forget, or to help us not forget, to help us remember. It's a rough day. We have reminders on our phones. We have alarms. We have calendars. We have so many different resources available for us to proactively remember, because we're prone to forget others. And one of the things that is an exercise of faith, what it looks like to look to Jesus by loving others, is to empathetically remember others who are suffering. Verse 4 says, honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between a husband and wife, because God draws a firm boundary against casual and illicit sex. So if you're trying to figure out what version I'm using this morning, it's the Larry Murray Amplified Version. To spell it out practically and specifically for us here this morning, what faith looks like is loving our spouse, even if we're not married or even interested in anyone yet. Faith requires obediently honoring the sexual intimacy God designed exclusively for marriage. Obediently honor. And the reason I say that is because obedience oftentimes requires faith expressed in love when it maybe goes against our feelings, goes against how we're tempted at a moment. And so obedience to honor marriage, whatever your marital status might be, requires both faith and obedience. Faith in trusting that God has given us some firm boundaries. Specifically in the Holman Christian Standard Version, it says, marriage must be respected by all and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge immoral people and adulterers. It's a hard boundary that God has given, not because God is hard and unloving, but it's a hard boundary because God is loving and He cares for us. It says that when we honor marriage, it's a way of exercising faith in Him and truly loving all others, because sexual immorality has so many tsunami wave effects to all of our other relationships. So obedience takes faith to saying, God, I trust your plan, and I'm not going to compromise, either as a student, someone who's single, or someone who's married, or even single again. You know, obediently honor the intimacy designed exclusively for marriage between a husband and wife. Even if and even when it's inconvenient, uncomfortable, and difficult. Because God loves us and has given us a hard boundary to walk with Him by faith for our good. It requires looking to Jesus and encouraging one another. A friend of mine, Bill Young, years ago, he was a pastor at Lake Ridge Bible Church when I was in college. Such a funny, gregarious guy. Whenever anybody would say, hey, Bill, how are you and Becky doing? His response was, the marriage bed is undefiled. And as a college student, I was like, what? What he was living out was an active demonstration of this, of I'm going to protect my marriage. And Larry and everybody else who's single, you should too. It's that important. It's a demonstration of faith and love, even future love. The next verse, Hebrews 13, 5, keep your character and your conduct free from the love of money and material possessions, and be content with what you have. In other words, be generous. Generously manage the money and the material possessions that come from the Lord. I think the reason for this is that contentment with our finances comes from not viewing what we have and what we own as owners, but as stewards, those who manage something that isn't ours. I have a friend, Gary Coppinger, as well, that he is the longtime faithful money manager for Ed Cox, who is now in his 90s and maybe not far from dying and leaving this world. But Gary still faithfully manages his money. There's not anything that Ed Cox hasn't given to Gary's control. And the reason Gary's able to be faithful is because he understands it's not his. He doesn't own it. He manages it. And that enables him to be faithful. I remember a conversation with Gary years ago when he was looking at investing in fertilizer. And he said, "Larry, I have learned more about cow manure than I ever thought I would ever need to." And he did it because he was a faithful steward and able to be content with what he had, even as he managed the billions of dollars that Ed Cox has, that Gary invested for him. Contentment comes by stewardship rather than ownership, so that we can generously manage the money and the possessions that God has given us in loving ways, that out of brotherly and sisterly love, we can be generous with others. Now, as Warren mentioned this morning, Plano Bible Chapel is a faith-based ministry. And what that means is that we trust by faith that God is going to provide for the ministry and missionary needs through the people of faith, through the household of faith. And so a significant way that you demonstrate faith in God is by investing His resources back into ministry and missionaries and staff and light bills, student ministry buildings. And we can only do that when, by faith, we take what God owns that He's given to us and we invest it wisely. We lay up our treasures in heaven rather than here on earth. Enduring faith manages our resources, gives generously, and gives sacrificially, even when it's inconvenient, when it's uncomfortable, when it's hard. The second part of this verse gives the reason we can be generous. It's a quotation from Deuteronomy 31. It's here in the second part of verse 5. "For God has said, I will never leave you or abandon you." We can be generous. We can give what is already the Lord's because He promises, "I'm here. I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to take care of you." And we believe God's promise, as we sang about this morning, by faith. And it's demonstrated by love, as we give in hospitality, and as we give financially. And I think the last verse we're going to look at this morning kind of sums all this up of how do we love by faith. Look at verse 6. It's a quotation from Psalm 118. "So that we can say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere people do to me?'" How does faith persevere when we're tired, when we're troubled? How do we live out this enduring faith by love when it's uncomfortable, when it's inconvenient, when it hurts? By fearlessly trusting the Lord, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, because He loves us and He promises He's never going to leave us. We look to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, our Good Shepherd. And as we look to Him, we love His sheep. And that's all of us. enduring faith in Jesus Christ, perseveres in loving others. Let's commit to keeping our eyes on Him and looking out in love for one another.